So welcome, everyone, to the UK Monday Night All Addictions Meeting. Our speaker tonight is Dhoni, speaking on the topic of the second half of There Is a Solution. And take it away, Dhoni.
Hey, guys. I'm Dhoni. I'm grateful, recovered, alcoholic, addict, opioid. I tell you what, whatever Big Book Awakening-ism has opened and awakened me and made me aware of, you guys have been right in there to help me figure all this out, because I on my own can't figure out nothing. I'm Dhoni, and just I want to take this minute. God, in this moment, you know the fear that I have, and you know what message you need delivered. Create in me the hollow bones that you need so that I can be useful to you and my fellows. Grant me strength right now. Remove my fear. Amen. Thank you so much for having me a minute to get myself aside. You know, this particular part of the book, when you guys got me to this part of the book, I realized that whatever my ick-ism is, whether it's whether it's on the end of my fork or whether it's on the end of my head and it's a thought or it's a liquid or a substance, whatever it is, you convinced me now that once I put it in my body, once I activate it physically, I'm lost. I'm lost. I can't stop it, whatever it is. Okay. Well, then you guys show me some things on how to set that down. You set it down. I don't know. On November 4th of 2008 in this country, we elected our first biracial president. That was the day that my husband came home and found his wife nearly dead from alcohol, to the point where he's like, called my therapist and treated Al-Anon. We don't call 911. We call my therapist. What do I do? It looks like she's not drinking, not breathing. Put a mirror under her face. He sees little puffs. Little, just really, I think I see it. Take her to the hospital. And then began my ER treatment of 14 hours of detoxifying me. And then somebody that must be drinking like that for that long has got to be crazy, right? So we did 30 days in the insane asylum and all that good stuff happened. Then I get the prescription to go to 90 meetings and 90 days of Alcoholics Anonymous from, guess what? A non-alcoholic psychiatrist, just like Dr. O'Sullivan. Go over there with those people. They understand. And I went over there. I thought I was taking a class every day for an hour with you guys. And then to 90 days, I was going, you got to tell me what I wanted. What I wanted is to be able to drink two drinks a day. Normal people do not even think about having two drinks in a day. Sometimes a month, sometimes a year. You know, they just don't do that. But that is what I kept telling the psychiatrist. I want to know how to do that. And he's like, here, go over there to these people. They're going to tell you how to do that. Thank you. None of you have told me how to do that yet. Thank you. Thank you. You all took me right here to this because my mind would not shut off about it. I could not get my mind to shut off about what this ism is that I was kicking my And then you bring me over here and it's like, well, it's okay. You have mental obsession. What? What the heck? No one had ever, and I'd sit at the tables for 3.5 years in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was ready to drink and die something because I was not happy. I was not joyous. I was not free. I was not, these things that you guys said was going to happen was not happening. Part of the thing was that I had a sponsor at that time that looked at the 9-step promises and believed that those were going to happen when you got halfway through step 6. I never did make an amends in 3.5 years. I was suffering. So you guys get me in here and you get me to this point and it's like, that's why you can't quit thinking about it. Let's do the directions as they are in the book. So you get in here and you tell me that the problem is in my head. I'm going to, you know, all the stuff I've learned about my physical part of it is really pointless because it's in my head. Oh my gosh, these thoughts. And once in a while, I'm going to tell you the truth. I do not know why I behave the way that I do. That is the truth. But I'm going to tell you all kinds of things that I think you're going to want to know so that you'll be okay and you'll quit telling me quit drinking or quit using or quit whatever. I'm going to say whatever it is to appease you because I'm a people pleaser too. Thank you, Big Book Awakening, for helping me with that. And then we come over here and it tells me on 24 that the fact is that Dhoni, you're not even going to know that you have no choice, no control, no power in this. And you are not even going to be able to recall into your mind the horrific things of November the 4th of 2008 when your husband comes home after 30 years of drinking and finds you nearly dead. You're not going to be remembering that day. How do I know this? Last week, I am like so beside myself with how relationships are and all. He's like, I can't take it anymore. I am going to drink. And I'm at physical therapy in the middle of physical therapy. And I just looked up at my husband. And I said, I'm drinking today. You need to make sure that I have a motel room. You need to make sure you have all my credit cards. You take anything financial. You take my keys, you take the kids, get away from me. I'm going to drink. I can't take it anymore. I pray by water. He can only think, take her to water, let her pray. He can't even think right now, except he knows that whatever the spiritual thing is, I need it right now. He takes me to my prayer spot. I'm praying. I'm going to drink. I'm sorry, God. I'm going to drink. I'm going to drink. I can't get it out of my head. I've got a plan. I know what it's going to take. So I'm praying for my kids. Don't let this affect my children the way that it did when they were growing up. Please. About this time, I have my eyes closed. I'm praying. My husband is looking at me and he goes, these yellow butterflies start flying all around your head. Six of them land on your back. Six. I have six people that walk on this earth that call me mama. I was praying for my kids. And I started praying for my grandkids that they don't get affected by me drinking that day. Please remove this thought. Please. Dragonflies start flying around my feet. My grandchildren represent dragonflies in my life. They always lift me. I look at them and they lift me. Every time I'm down, they lift me. I have a grandson who dabbled with the liquid and some stuff one night, and we had EMTs and all kinds of stuff at our house. It was crazy. Literally, I thought I was going to die. And his medicine animal is a river otter. So I'm really praying for him right now, because this has only been about 2 months ago that this happened, and I really don't want my drinking to affect him at all. And I look up, and out of this culvert comes a little baby river otter. Swam through the water, come up on the rocks, sat it and looked at me. Just stood there and looked at me. And the obsession to drink went away. It went away. And I didn't drink. Where did that wind me up? It wound me up in some place I never thought I'd be, and that is in a church. People that know me are going to be like, what did she just say? Because I don't do that. I don't do the church thing at all. But I did. And I went for me so that I could be better with whatever this power is. Because all of a sudden, I'm seeing a footnote on page 25 that says, what's going on with you is fully explained here in the spiritual appendix. And the one thing that I don't hear a lot in meetings are us flipping. Actually, we read this page a lot and we say, oh, there's a footnote. We don't look at that. Well, I'd like you to go with me and let's look at the spiritual appendix, because I want you to see what happened to Donnie last week. Because it is fully explained here on page 567 of our big book. And we're taught, if you're working one-on-one, they don't get this a lot in the workshops, but in one-on-one, we're taught that there's some little transcription that we do on this page, on this particular thing. Because in this, where we're getting ready to read in this thing, it's going to refer us back to footnotes on these pages twice. Please go read that. The doctor tells us we need this. So a spiritual experience is what Bill had, and it totally, in that moment, bam, he's transformed. He cannot go back and drink. It's done. He's changed. And an awakening, I really like the awakenings. They happen all day, every day. I get awakened to, oh, try this. Oh, I hear Judas say that. Or I hear Pam on a recording with this. Or I hear, you know, I hear these little things, and they're little awakenings. Like, oh, hello. I didn't think of that before. And now I'm awakened to a new concept, a new idea, a new way to maybe live my life a little better. I needed to have all these old ideas, concepts. I needed all my old concepts out. They needed to go out. And I was hanging on to them tight, man. I was hanging on to them tight. So we're told that we go through and we read this. We understand the experience is what Bill had, the pow, the white light effect, right? But most of us have what this slow awakening. And that's what most of us have. And then we read this, and anything in here that we see that means a change, a word for change for you, we underline it, we highlight it. So I just want to kind of go through these things, what they mean for me. An awakening, an experience. It's a personality change. I need my personality changed. And they called them religious experiences in that next paragraph, but they're really spiritual experiences. They didn't have a word back then in the beginning for what they, everything was religious back then. And now we know it's spiritual. They had to be in a nature, in a way of sudden and spectacular upheavals. That's an experience. That's what happened to me last week when I wanted to drink. That's what happened to me last week. It was sudden. The thought came sudden. And God came sudden when I asked. There's the next paragraph, sudden, revolutionary. That's new and never happened. Something brand new, revolutionary changes. Yeah. Sometimes they're immediate. They're overwhelming. Man, that's what happened to me last week. What happened to me on November 4th of 2008 when I drank my last breath away. That was sudden. That was spectacular. That was poo. And I changed that day. In this paragraph, they talk about transformations. A little farther down, they talk about differences. You guys become aware of the difference in me because before I do, we see that new person walk in and we see the changes in them. When you're working with somebody one-on-one or just a step cut, when you see the change in that new person, let them know you see the change. They don't know they're changing. They don't know that they're having a spiritual awakening or an experience right now. Alert them to that so they can be aware of what they're feeling. They'll want more of it. That's what the program's about. Then we come down a little bit. There's going to be differences in my, you guys will notice the difference that I am going to have this profound alteration. I'm going to have a spiritual awakening. Something is going to be huge in my life that's going to change whatever it is I'm doing. Drinking for 30 years? Yeah. Not being able to drink for every 30 minutes? Yeah, I don't do that anymore. What? Never in my life did I think from the minute I started using stuff that I would be able to have, be able to say I was recovered. I didn't know there was a way out. And then down at the bottom, it says, tapped an unexpected inner resource. Where is the God that of our understanding? Where do we find him? Deep down inside ourselves. These people tapped an inner resource that they now have a conception that's new. What's a new idea? Of a power greater than themselves. I thought I was the power. Thought I could tell you guys how to do everything and it'd be all right. That ain't it. So then they understand that their awareness of this power greater than themselves is the essence of a spiritual awakening. I got to realize this is something bigger than me that operates everything. And it ain't me. And I like the rest of it. There's a little exercise on 568 that tells me there's six conditions I must meet in order for this experience to happen. But I want to kind of get back to the book a little bit, to where we were, because it talks now on 25. It talks to us about the great fact. And it is a great fact for me. And it is nothing less that you guys have had the spiritual experience. I see it in all of you. I see it that you keep coming back to these squares and you keep sharing the miracles that have happened in your life. That you're not eating, you're not thinking, you're not using, you're not doing all these things that just tore you up before. You've had the awakening. Go with it. Go with where it leads you. That you guys' whole attitude towards how you live your life, towards how you think about others, and towards how you think about God in general are changed. When I hear how some of you were before this process and how you are now, and I know you now, I didn't know you before, and I'm like, wow, how did that happen? I know it happened right here. And right in this experience, this event, what we're talking about, your obsession was lifted. You never acted that way again. You never thought that way again. That's remarkable. And then the central fact That's huge for me because God has entered in my life. He's entered in my heart, into my soul, into my being. He's changed everything about me. I could no more live without a moment of prayer and meditation than I could without a bite of food, a glass of water, or a breath of air. It's a necessary thing in my life today. Something I gotta add more and more of because it feels so much good. Feels better than where I was.
That's 5 minutes remaining, Doni.
Okay, thank you. There's no middle of the road solutions for me. God either is or isn't, right? God either is or isn't. There's so many promises in here. And then again on 27, they're going to ask you to please go back and read. Please, please, please read the spiritual appendix. You know, Roland Hazard went to Yoon and spent a year, right? Trying to, why can't I quit drinking? And he stayed over there for a year in Europe with Yoon. And he comes back and he drinks again. Why? And he goes back to Yoon. And Yoon's trying to explain to him that he needs this spiritual experience, but Yoon doesn't know how to do that. Yoon gave us something that's beautiful that I just love. Love, love, love. Bill wrote Yoon about 20 years after Roland had done that, brought the information back, and Alcoholics Anonymous is flourishing. And so many people were surviving on just what Yoon's thought process was, that you need to have God in your life. A psychiatrist might not help you. You need to have an experience. So he writes, Yoon writes him back, and he says, you know, I often wondered about what happened with Roland, and I'm glad to know that he got that message across. Because it takes a spirit to conquer a spirit. Spirit versus a spiritum. When you look at a label on a bottle of alcohol, what does it say on the outside of it? There's a spirit. It's spirits. Lift your spirits. There's a spirit inside that bottle that's evil for Donnie. And I need a good spirit to fight it. God fights the spirit in the bottle for Donnie. And it comes from all these things that happens in this book. And I wish I could get more into that, but I do want two things before I leave. On 29, it gives us two hopes. I hope that everything I shared today has not been so self-revealing that it disturbs you in any way. But sometimes we have to have those accounts. We have to know the deep down of what our disease took us to. And then they hope that those desperately in need, I do hope that those, any of you desperately in need, can find this solution that's in the spiritual appendix in the back of the book that we don't talk about very much. So with all of that, I started in a prayer and I like to end in a prayer. So if you'll go to God with me, this is just a little simple prayer that's out there. You can get on the internet. It's called Prayer to the Gate Spirit, but it just touches everything about my program for me and lets you know what I do. Oh, great spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds and whose breath gives life to the world. Hear me. I am small and weak, and I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty. Make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands ready to respect the things that you've made, and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise so that I may understand the things you have taught my people. My people are in these squares right now. Let me hear the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I need strength. Not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes. So when life fades as the fading sunset, my spirit can come to you without shame. Mado, wado, mcwetch, yako, ke, aho, and amen. UK, thank you so much for inviting me to come and share a little bit about what I think spiritual appearance and spiritual awakening is and what it looks like in my life. I love you guys. Thanks for being a part of my journey. I pass.